thankful for the service, thankful for the presence of the Lord that we felt, and for the truth that we've heard. I have great confidence in Brother Dale Compton, in his ability to rightly divide the word of truth, and his ability to proclaim to us God's word. But it's not my confidence in Brother Dale that I'm leaning on this morning. It's my confidence in God. Because as wise as Brother Dale is, and you guys know him better than I know him even, you know that he is wise and he has studied his scriptures and he will depend on the Lord. But more than any of that kind of wisdom, we need the wisdom from heaven. We need God to speak to our hearts today. And I'm thankful that God can take a human vessel and take him and use him to give him liberty of speech and thought and share exactly the words that God would have for us to hear today from his word. And so let's pray that God would use Brother Dale as a vessel like that, as a mouthpiece for the Lord, as an ambassador for Christ, that he would stand not in representing himself, but in representing his King, representing his Lord, and speaking on his behalf today. I love him very much. He is a mentor, a friend, and I have great confidence in him, but I know that he desires our prayers today. So let's pray for him as he comes this way, and I won't say anything further. Brother Dale, come on.
Thank you, Brother Jonathan. I would like to say greetings from Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Bolivar, Missouri, where our membership is. God's got a lot of his people scattered in a lot of different places. And as I was thinking earlier, many of you I have known for a long time, but it dawned on me, Brother C.L. and Sister Judy, I've known longer than I've known any of you. Used to go to church with them occasionally over at Big Meadow, rode the school bus with C.L., worked in the fields with him. But you know, the greatest thing about that is the sweet spirit of the Lord in making those journeys. My mind run back as Brother Danny mentioned the Organization of Friendship in 1952. You march forward about 11 years and you have the organization of Hall Creek and New Life. March forward total of about 25 years, and you have the Organization of Freedom. And you have New Life organizing Salem. But, you know, Salem is a special church to me because my first introduction to any of you past CL and Judy was at Salem back in 1968. Having a fellowship service when Salem was still a mission out of New Life. And the churches in Columbus and the churches in Indianapolis had all congregated together. That was the first I'd come up to visit on Clay and Aunt Grace, Vazet. That was the first church service I was in after the Lord called me to preach. Now, I had no intention of telling anything. But the Lord's plans were otherwise. And I remember having a call for altar prayer and started to go back to my seat after prayer. And that still small voice, at least you could say it's been good to be here. And it's always good when you can be at the Lord's house and feel God's presence to say it's been good to be here. And I went to say that. I remember turning around, and when I come to myself, I was on the other side of the church house and realized I'd said too much. In my way of thinking, but God had all that planned. And so it was very, very special time. But I look back in history, And you see, my home church was organized February 3rd, 1798, in what's now Metcalfe County. But there was a church organized as a result of it called Red Lick, which then Friendship came out of in 52. So, but you go back a little further, Robert Stockton came from Virginia. He was the moderator of an association there called Strawberry Association. And he came to Kentucky, and he would go back by horseback twice a year back to Virginia to moderate that association. And actually had the opportunity to go and visit his grave and see the home that he had built there in Metcalfe County. It's still there, still being used. But our forefathers have braved great odds. They stood again impossible situations. Had the opportunity last fall to go to Virginia at the historical church historical tour there, and got to be at a place where that John Leland met with James Madison. They've been the Baptist churches in Virginia in that area have been trying to get the legislatures to put forth about 18 articles that they wanted. And they had a lot of people just kind of afraid to put them forth. And John Leland was a Baptist minister, and he met with James Madison and got Madison to agree that if he put those before the Congress, that they would support him. There's about 12 of those 18 that are in our Bill of Rights that we have today. And that's where they come from. They come from our forefathers back in Virginia putting that forth and putting forth the effort. And we got to be where the meeting Leland and Madison was. But you know, I look back, and there's a lot of special places in this old world from a historical standpoint. But for me, the most special place from a historical standpoint is down at Dripping Springs. When the Lord saved me one night. Didn't have to ask anybody about it. I had been talked up off the altar as a child. Said, "Don't you feel a little better? Any kid's had a good cry, feels a little better, and nobody has a right to tell him that's it." But this fellow said, "Well, that's it. Get up and tell him." God is the only one that can tell you that's it. He's the only one that can give you the knowing that you've passed from death into life. My thought this morning goes along with a lot of the testimonies and songs we've heard. And my thoughts are the love of God. But there's one thing about it. The night I got saved, I experienced the love of God. Didn't realize until I began to study and learn how that I had experienced it far before that. You see, it's by the love of God that He reaches down to such a sinful creature as we are and troubles us about our separated condition from Him. It takes love for Him to do that. Do you ever try to reach out to somebody who offended you? Every one of us have offended God. We are the offender. But God, through His mercy and His love, reaches down and troubles us, makes us uncomfortable, makes us unhappy, and makes us, in essence, disgusted with ourselves. But we want to get away from that. We want to run from that. But when we find the Lord, we want to get as close as we can. I want to take a portion of my reading from the book of Romans. In the 8th chapter, starting with the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Him that loved us. Him being Christ. Because of the love that he had for us. He could look down and he could see Adele Compton's need. He could see your need. And he went to the cross. He went willingly. You know, some might think that the Jews killed him. Some might think that, well, the Romans killed him. We find that when he was there upon the cross, it said that he gave up the ghost. He came to that place. He endured all of the torture. He endured all the scourging. He endured the spikes being driven into his legs and into his hands. He endured all those things. He endured the shame of the cross because of the love of God for me and for you. Sometimes, if you take your mind back when you were a child, I can say that maybe the older generation, that mom and dad sometimes used a switch or a belt or a strong hand, and you thought it was because that they didn't like you, because that they were angry at you. And sometimes parents do get angry. But what you find is that God's word teaches them to discipline their children and do it through love. And in God, then, after that he has reached down and he has, by his love, drawn you and pulled you to cause you to search and seek after him, that you might have that peace. And we might express it in many different ways, but the greatest way that we can express what God's done for us is peace with God. Peace with God. But after that he has done that and that he has, you have sought him and humbly repented, God rolls that burden away and he puts that peace of joy and love there. When you make the journey and you step off in the pitfalls of this life, God reaches down just like he taught our parents to discipline us. But he does that in love. He does that because he loves us. Sometimes I'm reminded of the story about the shepherd with the little lamb that kept straying away and having to go and seek out and find the little lamb. We've heard songs and we've heard poems about Christ going out after the little lamb. But this story was where that finally, after many, many times, being unsuccessful to get that lamb to stay with the others, broke its leg, and he put a splint up, and he taped it back up, and then he carried it. That's where the picture comes from, you see, of one artist's rendition, where that he has the little lamb being carried in the arms of Christ. I may be misunderstanding, but I believe that's where that came from, because what it shows was the necessity of him being carried. And you know, a lot of times when we think that we're at some of our most difficult situations, and we don't realize how close God is because our situation is such that we have allowed it to trouble us, and it affects our mind and our spirit. And yet God is so close that he's carrying us, and we don't realize it. But sometimes he opens our eyes and we can feel his arms around us. We can feel and know that he is God, and that his love is greater than all the dangers of this world. It's greater than all the problems of this world and all the pitfalls. And when we call out to him, he will hear and he will answer. Just as we instruct those that are seeking the Lord to call upon the Lord. We that have been saved, we are instructed by the Spirit of the Lord to cry out unto him, and he hears and answers. He strengthens us and helps us on the journey. Goes back to many, many times here at Friendship, and the blessings that God has given, the labors, not just of the preachers, but of the people coming together. I can remember when we were working on putting up, it probably was the ceiling prior to this one, and painting on the walls and things. But you know, those things, what they do, they bring back memories about the love of God, the bond that God puts among his people. I found over the years that there is a great bond that love of God puts between people that have never met before. And they come together, they get to know each other in the love of God, and that exceeds all the things that this world over in 15th chapter of John, the 13th verse, says, greater love hath no man than a person lay down his life for his friend. And if you think about that, that's what Christ did for us. He was a friend to us when we were yet an enemy to him. When we still did not understand. We were very much like the Jews that they were looking for a Messiah, but they wouldn't accept Christ. We're always looking for a solution, for a help, but sometimes we don't realize that our help is already there, and that God, through his love, will just place his arms of love around us and strengthen us and help us in the journey. Over in the 17th chapter of John, which I've said many times was more appropriately called the Lord's Prayer, as opposed to the one that we refer to as he's taught a prayer for us, a model prayer, not a verbatim, but one to pray in like manner. But over in the 17th chapter, it says, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before that the world was. You see, Christ gave up a great position and came as a man here on this earth. And we see here, though, in the third verse, he said that, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee. You know, when I was talked up off of the altar and joined the church, I learned about God. I knew about God. Didn't know God. But the night I got saved, I come in contact with the Heavenly Father. I come in contact with the one that had been trying to get me to pay attention to him for a long time. And I was able to know him. And that's what I want for everyone. I've got a lot of friends that are religious. They're very religious. They talk a good talk. But when it comes down to talking to them about finding God, about an experience of salvation, they have missed that love. They miss that great love. When your heart is torn up and you have trouble and there's a great weight upon you, when God removes that, you know something happened. There is an experience. You may not fully understand what happened, but by the love of God, you know that something happened. There's an old song that says, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. The love of God transcends our questions. It transcends our doubts and troubles. Many people have doubts, but when they go to the Lord, they're able to find the answers, find that comfort, find that solace, and find the presence of the Lord's arms around about them. When you're in the middle of your struggles, when you're in the middle of the night, when you can't go anywhere else, and you begin to talk to God and call out unto him, sometimes it's hard for us to just come to that place, even in prayer like that, to just trust him and just lay it all in his hands. But when we lay it in his hands, we can feel that presence of God. We can know that he is there and that he will take care of everything. He is our strength. He is our guide and our help. Over in the second chapter of Ephesians, we have a common scripture that we hear a lot. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, why would God give something so precious? Why? because of a love that is greater than what we can begin to understand. Because of His mercy and His grace. His grace is simply a favor that we don't deserve, is the best way to think of it. But because of the grace of God and His mercy, I guess the best way I could put it is He's looking at me or you as the guilty party. But by His mercy, He is willing to look beyond that. You see, because He had mercy upon mankind, He sent Christ. But also because that He had love for mankind, He sent Christ. But it's by grace, the undeserved favor. When we come to the end of repentance, that God reaches down, rolls that burden of sin away, gives us a peace there that's, one old song says, better felt than told. Better felt than told. Something that you know about. Something that you don't have to depend on someone else. My mind goes back to Brother Mike. He always was very plain about knowing. Now I remember also another old minister that helped in the revival here, Brother Emmett Strode. He'd rear back and he'd say, it's a no soul, sin killing, soul thrilling salvation. And if you don't know it, it's not so. But I'm reminded of Brother Mike back in 1969. Don Watts was sitting back over about where that second window is. I was sitting back over here. Brother Don got in trouble and he finally started seeking the Lord over there, but he's working with Brother Mike, and he went to him a few days later, and he said, Brother Mike, I think I got saved. Brother Mike said, that ain't no good. Now you might think he's being rude, he's being unkind, but he was giving him the best advice that he could possibly give him. He came back to him about three times. And the third time, Brother Mike started opening his mouth, say something. He said, Brother Mike, I know I got saved. He said, I thought you did, but said, you the one got to know. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you have to know. Take your mind back. Run your mind back to that place where the love of God flooded your soul. Nothing like it ever happened before. I've said to some people who tried to tell me I've been saved all my life, I was raised in a Christian home, I'd say, I'd like for you to explain to me how that the creator of the universe, with the power to speak the world into existence, could reach down and into your body and touch your soul and transform it and change it from a lost individual to a regenerated soul, and you not know anything happened. Pretty foolish. God. You might ask the question, well, if He loved you so much, why would He save somebody and not let them know? If He was willing to give His Son there upon Golgotha, upon Calvary, to be crucified, why would He give you the benefit of that and not let you know it? No. When God rolls that conviction upon you, He does it for a purpose. To draw you unto Him, that you might seek after Him. That when you come to the end of your way, when you come to the place to trust Him and humbly repent, that God, when He rolls that burden away and infuses His love there in your heart, that there's no question. By twofold, one, the burden's gone. Two, the love has exploded in your soul. It may only be as sweet peace. Sometimes, some of you have been in earthquake country, you've felt a little tremor. In other places you've been where it shook you up pretty good, but both of them still an earthquake. And that's what it, when the Lord saves someone, when he gives them that sweet peace that they know came from God, it's the self-same salvation as the one that shouted all over the house. It's the love of God showing forth in the soul. And I'm so thankful that many years ago I had the opportunity to come among this people here and get to know the people in this part of the country that knew the Lord. You see, I'd been raised up that there were five counties in Kentucky left serving in the Lord and the rest of the world's going to hell. Now, you laugh at it, but that's the way I've been raised. And I've been raised, there was no churches, there was no true churches in town. You couldn't have a true church in town. 20 years later, I ended up pastoring a church that I could have walked to when I was at college, but I didn't go looking for any because I knew there wasn't any. You see, our nature is not God's way. God has people all over. I've met people and I've been in church services in Florida. We have Cedars of Lebanon down in Florida. I've been in churches down in Alabama. I've been in services in Texas, in California, Oregon, Michigan, Ohio, many, many, many places. God has got his people hidden out in a lot of places. I just wish a lot of us would stand up and be counted. And some of us are. But see, it's the love of God. When you begin to feel like that you're all alone, wherever that you go, you can find some of God's people. You may have to do a little hunting and do a little searching, but you can find some of God's people. The love of God didn't stop at Friendship or at New Life or at Hall Creek or at Salem. But God is still going on. And through his people, he is still marching on until he comes back. And when he returns, when he splits the eastern sky, it's over. It'll be a wonderful time for those that have been saved. The Bible teaches us those that are lost, that they'll cry out to the rocks and the mountains to hide them. Too late. But the Lord is still on the throne. When you're discouraged, remember the love of God is present and available. Talk to him. He'll hear and he'll answer. May God bless you. May he strengthen you. And may Friendship still be preaching and declaring the truth till he comes. Brother Jonathan.